What's good, everybody? This is Abstract Dynasty, the show where we use stats, theory, and experience to challenge consensus, unearth value, and hone our craft as Dynasty players. I'm AJ, and today I'll be delivering a controversial take on some of the quarterback controversy going on in the league this offseason. Let's talk shop. So, very tumultuous offseason for the quarterback position this year. The Jared Goff-Matthew Stafford swap kicked all of this off, followed by Carson Wentz and Sam Darnold finding new teams, rumors of Russell Wilson being unhappy in Seattle, potential trade there. Looks like most of the NFL soil is set for the upcoming season, but there's two more dominoes that have yet to fall, and those are Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. Now, both of these guys have major question marks in their outlook for fantasy and beyond, but it's kind of hard to do actual fantasy analysis on them. It's more or less come down to a gut feeling of what you think is going to happen. So let's look at both of their situations from a very broad scope and see how they compare. I'm going to start with Aaron Rodgers. Capped off a quarterback 3 finish with MVP honors in the 2020 NFL season, back from the dead, revitalized under Matt LaFleur's second year, reportedly wanting out of Green Bay. Little rumors have been leaking out all offseason. Quick recap. Team was struggling years ago, fired head coach Mike McCarthy, brought in Matt LaFleur, who was the latest McVay disciple to land a head coaching gig. Also got a new GM in Brian Gutekunst, who started spending up in free agency, revamping the defense. Maybe they believe they overachieved year one, but whatever the case, made the questionable move of drafting Jordan Love in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft, which is where all of this started. Rodgers was reportedly upset that they weren't adding any more weapons for them to compete with and mostly focusing on a run game and defense mindset. Now, I acknowledge for the Packers organization that planning for the future without Rodgers is definitely paramount vision to have. And I don't think that they expected Aaron Rodgers to play as well as he did last year. But now they're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place. Aaron Rodgers himself has been deemed, either fairly or otherwise, a notoriously spiteful quarterback. I remember a story about him not willing to speak to family and cutting off ties. I really don't care about that. What I care about specifically in this situation is Aaron Rodgers was a quarterback on this team that watched the bitter and ugly divorce between the Green Bay Packers and his predecessor, Brett Favre. He was in that locker room. He was part of that. And regardless of which side you fall on, who was right, Rodgers has seen this play out before. So why the Green Bay Packers thought it would be a good idea to make history repeat itself for the man who they passed on a generational talent for is beyond me. Ian Rappaport, in his infinite wisdom, broke a story on the eve of the draft, all but saying that Aaron Rodgers was demanding a trade out of Green Bay and would not report with the team, trade or no trade. Now, Ian Rappaport has since walked back on those comments, saying that he broke that news without actually having any other piece of information. It was just a culmination of all of the rumors that had leaked out all offseason. So the belief that Aaron Rodgers waited until draft night to give the Packers an ultimatum and they were scrambling to figure out what they were supposed to do with the picks, with or without Rodgers, isn't accurate. And I think that's even worse for the Packers, because that means that they were calm, cool, and collected going into this draft process, selecting Eric Stokes in the first round, waiting until the third round to draft Amari Rodgers, the only receiver they took in the last two drafts. And that's why I think Rodgers is ultimately out of here sooner rather than later. A blurb came out today about Aaron Rodgers containing cryptic comments, which people are drawing shots at the GM, Brian Gutekunst, speculating that Rodgers wants him fired. Man, this thing's already in motion. Regardless of what you thought you were going to get out of Rodgers in the 2020 season, this team has already sunk two offseasons worth of free agency signings and draft picks into the image of a post-Rodgers Green Bay Packers. If I'm Rodgers, I don't want to sign on for that, especially since, aside from Amari Rodgers, every wide receiver on this team is a free agent next year, and Green Bay is again projected to be at the cap floor for 2022. And any winning that this team does is going to be short-lived because of those two things. It just comes down to if Aaron Rodgers stays or if he leaves. Now, if he leaves, there are some solid landing spots on deck, my favorite of which being Denver Broncos. fire landing spot with all of that receiving talent. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, KJ Hamler, and an offensive mind like Pat Shurmur, who's done great work with quarterbacks like Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, and Daniel Jones of all guys. You get that team a Rodgers and one of the best defensive coaches in the game in Vic Fangio and a potential Super Bowl caliber defense. You're looking at Denver years Peyton Manning all over again. Smash. And they would probably be willing to pay more than anyone else for that reason. Now, if it's not Denver, be honest with yourself. What team that he lands with is actually scaring you? Could he go to Miami with Flores? All the excitement going on with the Dolphins receiving corps? The football team? For whatever reason, throughout all this QB controversy, the Raiders have kept popping up in potential landing spots for Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. If Derek Carr can finish as quarterback 13 on the year, absolutely give me Rodgers in that offense as is, and he'll finish as a quarterback 1. What team actually scares you? I would say the Texans and maybe New England. We're not seeing any decline from Rodgers. We're not seeing latter stage Big Ben and Drew Brees where the arm's falling off and he can't make throws and teams don't have to respect the deep ball. He won MVP last year. And I think the funniest part about this is the flip side. If he stays, barring injury or a massive team-wide collapse, he's a one-year quarterback rental for the 2021 season, and he's back in this exact same situation next offseason, except with potentially more suitors, because teams know that Aaron Rodgers is ready to be done. So the fact that Aaron Rodgers in a startup is slipping to the sixth round is crazy to me. Yes, he's 38. Yes, he's never left Green Bay. Yes, it's just an unknown in general. But in the fifth, sixth round, I am willing to take that bet if I'm competing. So really the only thing you have to thread the needle on is whether or not he retires, which is a real possibility for what it's worth. Although I would argue that hosting Jeopardy may still be there when he's done competing. So if the three worst case scenarios is he lands with the Texans, New England, or retires, and everything else is on the table, I'm all about that for fantasy. Now, segueing from mentioning the Texans, we'll go to Deshaun Watson. Quarterback 5 last year. Absolutely no one is denying Watson's talent. He's been nothing but a stud his entire career, but now we have off-field baggage. I'm not an investigator. I'm not going to argue the semantics about the case. I don't care if you think he did it. I don't care if you think it's an elaborate conspiracy by Jack Easterby and Tony Busby. Here's what I do care about. 31 other teams all avoided trading for one of the best quarterbacks in the league. There's enough here to make everyone with professional jobs in the NFL deemed Deshaun Watson too hot to touch. This shit is bigger than fantasy football and football in general. Sexual assault is no joke. We are going through a massive cultural shift in our country, tackling a lot of big issues, police brutality, poverty, and in this case, sexual assault. And mere allegations of sexual assault are taken very seriously in a court of law, let alone by the NFL. So from the top down, the big obstacle Deshaun Watson has to clear right now is jail time. If he avoids jail time or legal penalties, a suspension from the NFL is pretty much imminent. The NFL does parallel independent investigations alongside legal investigations into all matters involving members of the NFLPA and hands down independent judgments separate to the legal ruling for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Quick recap on the history of said enforcement of personal conduct policy. Ezekiel Elliott suspended 6 games after a not guilty verdict from his 2017 domestic violence case. Greg Hardy, 10-game suspension reduced to 4 after a not guilty verdict in 2015 domestic violence case against his girlfriend. Jameis Winston, 3-game suspension after a not guilty verdict in his 2016 sexual assault case against an Uber driver. Kareem Hunt, 8-game suspension after his 2018 video leak of him kicking a woman. Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, Jimmy Smith, Quincy Enunwa, I can go on. Regardless of whether or not you think Deshaun Watson did this and should suffer penalties, even if he's found not guilty in a court of law and all charges are dropped, he's almost assuredly still getting suspended. Tom Brady's Deflategate suspension was brought to the Superior Court which ruled that the NFL can basically administer whatever punishment it wants with or without legal consequences to back up the claims. So, is the NFL inconsistent at times with their discipline? Yes. Did Tyreek Hill avoid a suspension from the league? Yes, although he was suspended by the Chiefs. And here's the kicker. Most of, if not all of these cases that I've mentioned and failed to mention, stem from a single altercation or case. Watson has potential dozens of accusers. If you think Deshaun Watson is getting off scot-free from this, you are delusional. Not to mention, we don't even know how long this is going to drag on for. Watson could appeal, like they did with Tom Brady, and the suspension could be deferred to his new team. Kareem Hunt was cut in the middle of the season by the Chiefs, didn't sign with anyone until the following year with the Browns, and was then handed down an 8-game suspension, which further muddies his outlook. This could be longer than just a one-off season. Now, we're sitting here at the end of May talking about this, and more, this could develop as the rest of the offseason goes on, but I would be absolutely floored if I got anything from Deshaun Watson this year. Best case, I see him getting a 4-6 game suspension and trying to rehab his value by getting some games under his belt. So if Deshaun Watson gets on the field, what exactly are we fighting for here? Did we forget that this is the Houston Texans? This is the Hindenburg of NFL franchises right now. Everything in this team is immolating. Look at what they've done over the last few years. They're still paying for the sins of Bill O'Brien, running this team into the ground. They have no picks. They have no cap space. And the Texans are coming out of this offseason having signed Tyrod Taylor and Jeff Driscoll, as well as drafting rookie Davis Mills in the third round. This team, from what I can tell, is moving on from Deshaun Watson. Or at the very least, expects to not have him. And even if he does get on the field, DeAndre Hopkins is long gone. Will Fuller left in free agency and signed with the Dolphins. Deshaun Watson's top receiving option is Brandon Cooks and no one else. Who's behind that? Kiki QT, Jordan Akins, rookie Nico Collins? Say what you want about Deshaun Watson's talent and being able to elevate the team around him, but how much of that can really be done here? There's no ceiling here anymore. And it blows my mind that Deshaun Watson is going in the fourth round of startups right now. Fourth round! When you don't even know if he's going to play! If you're taking Deshaun Watson now, it's purely a long-term play. And even then, it's still going to be difficult for another team to acquire him, because he signed a major extension that leaves $51 million in dead money to the Texans either outright or to be absorbed over the following two seasons, which probably is why the Texans really haven't done anything this offseason other than bring in a bunch of career special teamers and low-cost veterans. They're not trying to tie up cap when major financial penalties coming on a potential Watson move. So in closing, did you catch the two ADPs I threw out there for these two quarterbacks? Deshaun Watson is going in the fourth round. Aaron Rodgers is going in the fifth or sixth round. Is there really that big a difference between these guys? I'm not talking age.
But Watson's only 27. He's going to play another 10 years, you idiot.
Oh, like, okay, extreme future Watson, not close. No shit. But nobody in their right mind should be sitting there in a startup hoping that Deshaun Watson's going to be their fantasy savior midway through the season and carry them to the playoffs. It's so unlikely. Because if you're already in a dynasty league right now and you own Deshaun Watson, go try to trade him. See what you get for him. Or better yet, tell me what you'd be willing to pay for him in a superflex. Are you paying 2-3 first rounders? Fourth round pick in a startup, that's Calvin Ridley right now. Are you trading Calvin Ridley straight up for Deshaun Watson? How about Terry McLaurin? Joe Mixon's still down there. DJ Moore, Michael Thomas. Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson are two great quarterbacks, but a full two rounds apart in ADP is egregious. Especially when you consider, in Dynasty, we're usually only looking 2-3 years in the future because things constantly are changing over time. Which, by the way, Rodgers still has a good shot of playing for the next 2-3 years. Sure, you can have Deshaun Watson for the next 6-10 years. Is the rest of your Dynasty roster locked into title chase for the next 6-10 years? Most leagues don't even last 6-10 years. In a startup, I'm probably only touching Watson in a one-year punt, which is you're sitting at the top of the draft, you get a godfather offer, you trade down for a tons of futures, or you're able to string a couple of trade backs into a sizable haul of first round picks in the future. So that's not something you can strategize for. Just you kind of fall into that. And in an already drafted league, the only way I'm touching Watson is I'm either so absurdly stacked that I have two or three quarterbacks ahead of him and I can afford to pay a suppressed cost to just have him on my bench and see what happens, or I buy him at the suppressed cost because I'm fully rebuilding. And him getting back on the field and producing 2 to 3 years from now is more valuable than the late first round pick I would have gotten otherwise. I'm just not a fan of joining a startup to immediately build for the future. That's not my style. If things change, we get more clarity on their two situations, maybe this looks different. But head to head, right now, I am more likely to take Aaron Rodgers in the fourth round than I am Deshaun Watson in the fourth round. This is the power that narrative and consensus in ADP has on how we draft. For all intents and purposes, aside from age, these are both MVP caliber quarterbacks whose ceilings are very similar, and they're both facing major future question marks, and yet they're two rounds apart. This is how we find value. I hope that was informative. If you enjoyed, don't forget to like and share the show, and feel free to go back and listen to older episodes, dropping lots of knowledge every week or two. You can follow us on Twitter at Abstract Dynasty. Until next time, I'm out. Keep grinding.